Well, initially, when I was sent out, yeah, there was a letter to my employer, included in. I carried a brown envelope, and in the brown envelope was this letter to my employer, a work agreement, and a pocket money book, plus a permit. This permit was giving me permission to be able to leave Sherby. Because every time we were allowed to leave Sherby, we had carried this permit with us. So if the white police pulled us over and questioned us, you know, our whereabouts and what are we doing here, we can just produce this permit. But I didn't know all this, what that was in the envelope, until the 1990s through my research. But then, you know, this explains what are my wages I was to receive back, you know, when I was actually there working. All I did receive some amounts of pocket money, but I had no idea if that was the correct amount of pocket money I was entitled to.
Something I felt, and I really got to get that understanding of your generation, is when you went home for Christmas one year, you had the woman that you were working for had given you some pocket money to go back home with, and you went and bought some fruit as a treat for Christmas, and just everything that you were able to have, because you weren't allowed to have anything, you know, because, you know, the government took everything away from people, not having just general things like, you know, being able to choose what groceries you buy and things like that, that everything that you had, you absolutely treasured.
Absolutely, you know. And then it was, we've always had a thing about contributing, giving things to your family to help make life much easier. In that particular time when I was going home at Christmas, and I felt so good and so proud of myself that I was able to buy extra, I use the word luxury food, which was the fruit. And in particular, I wanted to take home a nice treat for my grandmother, who loved rock melon and pawpaws. And I mean, that was luxury. Yeah, and I felt so good and proud. I'm the big sister going home and I'm cashed up and I'm buying all these extra treats for the Christmas table.
You're making me even feel a bit sad about it. Can you talk about now where you are as far as, I guess, the journey with recouping or trying to obtain legal support around stolen wages and your stolen wages?
Okay, that was a 9-year journey with the campaign with the help of Tammy and lots of community people, even legal people, you know, they all came on board to see that the terrible injustice had been done here, and how we went about it. People came, embraced, and come on board, said, "No, this is terrible what's been done," and that's how, you know, I was able to continue doing all this for 9 years. And just after Peter Beattie was voted in, change of government, change of government workers, and in particular there was this Aboriginal woman who, because prior to that, I was getting tired of all this campaign letter writing, and previous governments kept balking. So in the end, because of this procrastinating from previous governments, like the coalition, and also it's important to know too that people were getting frustrated and caught up with all this history. There was also infighting. There was a lot of fighting from the Aboriginal community. And that was the crux of then me going to my solicitors. It was at the Caxton Legal Centre, a little community legal centre. And I said to my solicitor, "I'm ready now. I want to go to court." I was holding off because I thought it's best that we have a inquiry so everyone has an equal chance to go forward together as opposed to individuals. Otherwise it would have taken years, and our elders were getting older, and some getting, you know, becoming ill and passing away. I thought this isn't getting us anywhere. So in the end, forced the government's hand and said, "I'm taking legal action." This was in 1999.